Final hour of Darren Adonik on this Tuesday afternoon. Darren McFarland, Willie Adonik here with you. The bottom of the hour, who said that? I have fun with that. By the way, our record's pretty good, Willie, with that. I got to be honest. I don't know. We haven't been tracking, but our record's pretty good. Rarely do we get stumped. We'll find out if Josh can stump us with who said that at the bottom of the hour. Let's get back a little bit NFL talk. Adam Stites is on the line with us. Covers the NFL for SB Nation. Adam, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Yeah, we've been talking about overtime rules and pass interference and reviewable plays and bad officiating all day, probably like most sports talk shows around the country. What is your takeaway from the conference championship games on Sunday?
I thought it was a fun day of football. I enjoyed the heck out of both games. Unfortunate end of the Saints and Rams game, but it was really a fun game that came down to the wire, and the Saints had their opportunity in overtime and lobbed up an interception. So, I think we could look at the bad call, but ultimately I thought it was just an entertaining day of football.
We have said on this show we don't think that they should review pass interference. I have said I just think officials and refs should just get better at their jobs. How about that? Let's start there and not miss, a call that all of us could see. Basically everybody watching the game other than the crew on the field. I've also said, the two of us said, we don't need to change overtime. Here's an idea. Don't let them score a touchdown. But everybody wants to change everything after this weekend. Where do you stand where you see the league? Let's start with pass interference and maybe coming up with something where coaches can challenge that. You like that, not like that? Where do you stand?
I'm on the same page with you. I think the length of an NFL game is long enough as is. Both of those games were over 3 hours. The Patriots and Chiefs game took over 3.5. And I don't think we need any more stoppages for more reviews. I agree with you. I think it just comes down to getting officials to call very obvious. I mean, that's an obvious miss. I don't think that there should be, a rule change to get officials to be able to make a call. Just be able to make that call. There's multiple officials who should have been able to see that. I think that's just be better. No team in the NFL challenged more than 8 plays this season. No team averages more than a half a challenge per game. If you allow them to start challenging penalties, I think we see that average shoot up drastically. I think we get closer to where our teams are using both of their challenges per game. And so, I don't think we need this game to take any longer than it already is taking. Just, get refs to be better.
Do you think both teams should be able to touch the ball in overtime? Where do you stand on that?
I like the way it is right now. You got to be able to play offense. You got to be able to play defense. The Chiefs just got ran over by a Patriots team that kind of figured them out. And then the Saints had their opportunity. They lobbed up an interception. So I don't feel like either team got, screwed over by the rules. They just got beat.
Do you think the two best teams are in the Super Bowl? Did the games play out? Do we have the right matchup in your opinion?
I think so. The Saints are the team that probably feels more robbed of the two, but they didn't even get to 300 yards of total offense. They had a bad day, and they've had a bad, offensive stretch for a while now. They haven't looked right on offense since right around maybe Thanksgiving was the last time they looked pretty good on offense. So, I think that we have a justifiable matchup. I don't know that the Patriots are what they've been in the past, but they get the job done in the playoffs. So I think we got the right matchup.
I think Sean Payton and Andy Reid are spectacular regular season coaches. Is it fair to say that they've choked too much in postseason play? I mean, I think Sean Payton's great, but the last 2 years, I don't know how you can look at it any differently. And Andy Reid's resume speaks for itself. I think he is a Hall of Fame regular season coach, but he's got a lot of postseason demons.
Yeah, and he's had so many. Obviously, clock management is always the thing that we come back to when we talk about Andy Reid. In the grand scheme, like you said, he's just come up short way too many times. I didn't think he had a bad game of coaching this week. He went in, made halftime adjustments, came out. They scored 31 points. The offense was there. The defense just kind of ran out of gas down the stretch, and they just don't have a lot of talent there to work with. And, you know, I don't think that falls on his shoulders. I think injuries kind of played a role there. I thought he coached a pretty good game. But of the two coaches that you're talking about, I thought Sean Payton really had a bad game. For as bad as that call was, that should have been pass interference, they shouldn't have been passing in that situation in the first place. If they ran all three plays, they would have cut the clock under a minute to go and then would have kicked the field goal, and the Rams would have had no timeouts. I think that's game over at that point. They chose to pass twice. They got two incomplete passes because that's what happens when you pass. So I thought he mismanaged the end of that game there much more than Andy Reid did.
We're talking to Adam Stites from SB Nation, talking NFL. Adam, let's hit on a couple things that you've been writing about. First of all, I would contend that the royal blue Rams uniform with the gold pants and the gold horns on the helmet is one of the coolest uniforms in sports. Huh. And they're going to wear that in the Super Bowl?
They're going with the
throwback?
Blue and yellow. Yeah, the throwbacks that I think they should be wearing all the time, honestly.
Yeah.
I think when they went to the more the navy and the glossier gold that they wore in St. Louis, I thought they lost a little bit of that identity. It's pretty iconic when it's just that blue and yellow. So I'm glad they're wearing those ones.
So they're going back to the uniforms they lost to the Patriots in the Super Bowl with?
No, they didn't. No, they changed.
They
went to the older gold that year.
In 2001?
Yes.
Really?
That was their first year in the new ones, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The last year they wore the ones they're wearing now were the Super Bowl against the Titans.
Okay.
In Super Bowl 34. So what are they going to do, Adam, in the future? When they go into the new stadium, are they transitioning back to this, or is there something else they have up their sleeve? Because they have a couple of different things, because they have the helmets that have the white horns on it.
Yeah, it's probably still up in the air. They said they want to get fans' input. But I think the classic look has really worked well for them, and I think the fans really gravitate toward it. So I'm sure they're going to get a tweak on the way, maybe some, you know, different trim to the jerseys or something like that. But I think that they like the classic look, and I think they probably go with the blue and yellow over the blue and white.
Now, we all do get annoyed, Adam, at times when somebody fools us on social media, right? Yesterday, for example, there was a fake account of a trade in the NHL that had us popping our eyeballs for just a moment until we realized. Unfortunately, we didn't retweet or anything like that. And we're like, oh, it's a fake account. But you wrote a fun story about the Photoshop picture that Todd Gurley took, almost making fun of the fact, and to the Rams' credit, they didn't play the I'm not talking about it, or try to justify that maybe it wasn't pass interference. They kind of said, hey, they blew it. We caught a break. We, you know, that's what happened. It is what it is. But Todd Gurley had an interesting photo, and not everybody realized he was joking.
Yeah, him trading a jersey with a referee.
It's a pretty funny picture.
I thought it was really funny. I'm surprised it fooled people, because I think if you just look at it for, you know, 10 seconds, you can notice that the referee is wearing, you know, Saints pants, and he's got very large arms. Like, it looks a little silly if you really take a closer look. But, I thought it was really funny. I thought it was, well, like you said, that the Rams really could have been the villains here, who could have acted like they didn't get a break and they, you know, beat the Saints fair and square. But by kind of owning it all, it gives you more reason to just kind of appreciate that they're real people who understand that they got a break and they're rolling with it. So I think it's, you know, it's funny because on the other side you have the Patriots, who are playing up the underdog card. They're saying that nobody believes in them when they're off to their eighth Super Bowl in the Tom Brady era. It's kind of funny to see the dichotomy where you have the Rams, who don't take all that very seriously, and they just kind of embrace the reality of the situation.
It was kind of funny, though. Mike Francesa, he bit on the bait, correct?
Whoops. Another YouTube video of Francesa. Honk if you've heard that before. Adam, really appreciate it. Thanks for joining us. Hopefully we'll have a good Super Bowl here in less than 2 weeks.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me.
All right, that's Adam Stites. SB Nation covers the NFL. We'll come back. We'll have to eat that big pile of crow about the Patriots. We'll do that on the other side. Darren and Donnick, 102.5 The Game. All right, who said that at the bottom of the hour? But first, Willie, we've got an order of business to take care of. We should have known.
Got burned.
Should have known. If there's ever a team that's going to burn you, it would be the New England Patriots. We have said for a year that the New England Patriots would never ever get back to this point as long as Tom Brady, with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick there. Like, that was it. Last year was it. And we were wrong. They're back. They're back again. I felt like we were going to be right. I really did. But we were wrong. Who knows? They may go again next year. I'm not willing to say this is it. Because you know what? Until they're done, I don't know if you can say that anymore. Look, if you're not going to touch Tom Brady, doesn't matter if he's 49, if he's 56, if he can just stand there and do what he does or just dink and dunk you to death, I mean, he can play as long as he wants. But we said, collectively, they would not get to another Super Bowl. Like, last year was it.
And now we
got to eat those words.
I admit I went against what a lot of people do. Like, you'll hear this sometimes. Well, I've been saying all year long the Patriots aren't getting back to the Super Bowl, so I have to pick the Chiefs. I went the other way. I played both sides against the middle. I hedged. And in pick six, I took the Patriots.
Yeah, but you were getting points.
I was getting points. So that was how
technically,
that was partly
you could have
how
still
I
won
justified it. Yeah.
By Kansas City winning.
But you have to be impressed. When I was in Boston, Darren, doing the show, right after the Josh Gordon news came down, they had been struggling some, and they'd almost resigned themselves to, well, they're not going to be the number one seed. They're going to win the division. It wasn't even 100% that they were going to get the bye in the first round, right? They had to hold serve against the Bills and the Jets, which
it's pretty easy to do these days.
But, there was a lot of moaning and groaning about the fans up there. Is this team still a championship caliber? And here they are.
It's amazing.
To win at Arrowhead, that's impressive. You know, the Chiefs, to their credit, they didn't choke. They didn't lay down. They played really well. They got off to a slow start, but it really wasn't as much a slow start as it was the Patriots just had the ball the whole time. The Kansas City couldn't get a first down to get things going. And it was really playing out for the Patriots to have full control of that game. You know, if Brady didn't throw the interception from the 1 yard line on, what was it, second and goal? Mm-hmm. Second and goal from the one, and he gives the ball away. I don't know if I've ever seen Brady do that. Definitely not in a playoff game. It could have been worse.
How many times did you say during the course of that game in the fourth quarter, that's it? They're finally going to lose. Yeah, we're going to be right.
I never thought
the
it was over.
The muff punt? You never thought that?
Well, not once I saw the replay. I thought when I saw the replay, I was, like I said before, I was 90% sure.
Okay, but I thought you were supposed to be 100%.
You're supposed to be.
To overturn a call.
But if you have to make a call, I don't think he
touched. And oh, by the way, you look at it that long? Wasn't that telling us you didn't have 100%? They looked at it forever.
If I'm a Chiefs fan, that's what I'm saying today.
You're supposed to know 100%.
Now, remember, I believe the rule is, had he touched it, it still would not have been a touchdown.
No.
It would have, they would have gotten the ball.
It, but they have the ball at the 20.
Right, and the way they were moving the ball, it's pretty good likelihood that they would have punched it in there.
Okay.
But the one that
so
really
then they
kills
turn around
you.
And what do they do right after that? Throw a pick. And you're like, yeah. Ah, that's karma. Hey. Right? Edelman, right through his hands. They throw a pick. Okay. I mean, how many times? Get another pick. Offsides, defense, D Ford.
Yeah.
Lined up 4 yards across the line of scrimmage. How many times did you look at that game and go, it's finally going to end? Yes, they're not going to win this.
Well, that's another one.
We're going to be right.
Such a head scratcher is that guy. He wasn't just lining up offside. He was way offside.
Way offsides. Not even close.
How does that happen? How do you not take a look and say, you know what? I need to back up a little bit.
I keep looking. I have to tuck my head underneath to find the football because it's behind me.
Man.
It's behind me.
And you do it on a play where you get an interception. Can you believe
Game
that?
Game over. Game over.
Game-ending interception.
Game over. Sorry. Flag.
How does that happen?
Offsides. By a mile. First down.
I cannot believe that. Now, we were in a sports bar. By the way, Denver, I got to give that place credit. Downtown Denver, lots of different sports bars, all great crowds, all watching the game. And, of course, you know, the Broncos aren't playing. But
they like the NFL in Denver?
They were into it.
Huh.
And we had a great time. Hal Gill was all in on the Patriots.
No.
And, of course, earlier in the season, I was sitting with him when the Titans dismantled the Patriots, and he was in shock throughout the entire day. But this one, just the roller coaster ride was so much fun to experience with a crowd. Of course, 90% of them, we don't know any of these people. We're just observing the people of Denver watching this.
And all we have rooting our against the Patriots.
It was a little more
mixed. Or do they root for, because the Chiefs are in their division,
mixed.
There's a rivalry.
There is a rivalry with the Chiefs. There were Chiefs fans there in the jerseys and all that stuff. There were a scattered, there's always a few Patriots fans, right? Just any city, drop them in there, they're going to be there. And then there were other people just oohing and aahing with the crowd. And then there was one couple that was having a very emotional talk, not paying any attention to the game. We were fascinated with this couple, too. Like, how can they have this discussion now? They're here to watch the game with their friends.
Was one in a Chiefs jersey, another one in a Patriots jersey?
No. But, you know, it was like they were 100% talking to each other.
Was this a breakup talk?
I think it was a friend.
Were they on the ropes?
Consoling. I think it was a friend consoling the person. I don't know if it was a breakup, but there were tears. It was a guy and the girl, and I was like, this is an unbelievable thing to have happen while this game is going on. I mean, I guess life happens, but like they were the only two people not glued to the TV for every play.
Chad, what's up?
Right on that topic, I've never had a girlfriend or a woman who waited till the game to start a very serious emotional talk.
It was really.
Honestly, I would love to know
great,
what was going on.
Social. Yeah, we were very curious. Like, I wonder what happened.
Yeah,
I wonder what happened to have this talk now.
Well, sometimes they know where the game is our emotion, and they'll wait till that moment to kick off to say, all right, I'm really ready to talk about this. And you're like, oh, my God, are you serious? But
why have you been so distant? What? We're going to have this conversation
but
right
I don't,
now?
I don't think it was a couple. I think it was a – but it was
but
a
how
guy
do you know that?
Well, because he seemed to be sort of the cry on the shoulder, you know, cry on my shoulder kind of thing. Like, I'm consoling. That's what it looked like to us.
Like course, his friend?
We have no idea. We
just like, broke up with her maybe?
Something like that.
Okay.
Right. Well,
there's a lot of hugs.
Right. Let me move on to the game. The one thing that isn't talked about very often, and to me was the elephant of the game, was Brady didn't have any pressure on him at all.
None.
I mean, I guarantee if you look at the stats, I don't think they had a sack. I never even saw a hurry. You know, and, you know, that's great that we can praise Brady to be the world's greatest and all that, but it's awful, awful easy to play. Not easy, but it's considerably easier to play quarterback when you've got nobody in your
face. Yeah, but why is that, though?
It's a combination of a very soft defense, in my opinion, a soft defensive front, a very good offensive line. I think all really great teams are built from inside and out.
I don't think their offensive line is great, Chad. I think we give them way too much credit. You know why that offense looks good? Because of Tom Brady. That's why.
Well, Well, so there's no pressure on Brady. He has no hurries. And the answer is, why is that? I mean, that to me is only the offensive line dominates the defensive line. That's the only answer. Or you don't put pressure. I mean, who was not? I guarantee when the Rams play against Brady, they're going to, the antidote is going to be attack Brady, get in his face, disrupt him. Any quarterback, I mean, the Chicago Bears, basically a low-end team, adds three or four defensive pieces, and they completely turn their team around with their ability to put an unbelievable amount of pressure on the quarterback. So if you put pressure on the quarterback and you put pressure on Brady, he's a statue back there. He's a completely different quarterback. He can't make a play outside of the pocket.
How are you gonna put pressure when he's dinking and dunking all over the field, getting rid of the ball in 2 seconds?
Well, then you bring your whole defense up and you take chances. You press those wide receivers and you demand. You know, Aaron Donald to me is the premier interior defensive lineman in the game. He's going to get pressure right up the middle. You will see pressure on Tom Brady. This idea he can just do 3-step drops and dink and dunk is good, but you can press that. You're a little bit more vulnerable, you know, to a deep pass, but I don't see a lot of deep threats on the Patriots. So I think the Rams will have a good. I think you'll see a different game because there's no way they're going to let Brady just sit back there.
Are you calling it? You calling it Rams victory?
I'm not calling anything when it comes to the Patriots.
I know that's been burned so many times.
I've had the Patriots in the Super Bowl all year just because who was going to beat them? They were the number 2 seed. There was no shock there. And to me, when I knew that they probably were going to win this game was after the phantom quarterback, what was it, the roughing the quarterback? Phantom.
Yeah, roughing the passer.
Oh, boy. When I saw that call, I thought, nah, they're selling advertising here. They've already got the Brady and the Belichick in the Super Bowl. When I saw that call, I thought, I'm suspect on all this stuff because that was one of the most phantom roughing the quarterback penalties I've ever seen in my life.
Okay. All right, Chad. Thank you.
All right, fellas. Great stuff as usual.
Appreciate it. Well, we did not heed the advice that the Patriots would get back because we said they would not.
I agree that the Rams do have a better pass rush, and that will be a challenge. And they got a reasonable amount of heat on Drew Brees. I mean, that's how they won in overtime.
Well, and Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Donald, you should be able to get pressure.
They can get after it.
Those are two monsters right there in the middle. All right, we'll come back with who. Hey, don't forget to catch the MTSU Blue Raiders. They're going to face off against Rice Thursday night. Coverage begins at 6:30. Tip-off at 7. Can be heard on 94.9 Game 2, MTSU and Rice. Thursday, 7 o'clock tip. Pre-game coverage at 6:30, 94.9 Game 2. All right, who said that? Josh, the floor is yours.
Okay. Well, let's start with the one that we've already talked about a little bit with Adam Stites. Here we go.
If you were the referee of that game and you didn't realize you had a problem on your hands and that is your honest statement, you should be fired. You should never have another jersey, whether you exchange them with players before the game, which should be an outrageous thing to begin with. No way should an official be exchanging jerseys with a player before a game. That's such a bad thing to do, number one. Number two, they have to stay distant from the players. The Gurley Vinovich picture is not real. That was posted by Gurley, I guess, but it was not real. Thank God at least that wasn't true. So they didn't exchange jerseys, which I'm thankful for that.
Oops. Honest question. Do you think now, because this has just turned into such a phenomenon on YouTube, that he does it on purpose?
No.
Just to get a ton of attention.
No. That's what's
it's
funny
kind of
about
like
it.
Turned into a bi-weekly thing. Like, did you hear what Francesa did this week? No?
No.
You just think
I don't think his team briefs him on these things.
Yeah, where is his team?
Like,
he's
when
got
was that show?
Probably a slew of producers.
That wasn't right after the game, right? His show. Like, when did he go on the air with that take?
I think it was yesterday.
Right, Monday.
You think yesterday?
Yeah.
So a whole day has gone by for you or somebody on your staff, one person, say, oh, Mike, before you – hold on, Mike. That picture was doctored.
Right,
that
where
picture,
is this slew of
that
people behind
Todd
the
Gurley
glass?
Having some fun doctoring the picture.
Oh, Mike, that's fake. Like, that's totally fake. Stop.
Mike, hold on. Oh, that was fake? Okay.
Mike, stop it. You're going to end up on YouTube again. Stop it. It's fake.
Like, where are those people?
Where are those people?
I love that the whole world is laughing at it, and Frances says, thank God that isn't real. I'll just thank the Lord. Like, oh, man.
All right. We're off to a good start. What else?
You know, I remember it was a great game. I remember, you know, for whatever reason, I really always respected the, you know, both the offenses. I thought Eddie George was outstanding. Steve McNair's ability to create off schedule. Javon Kearse, that was his rookie year where he was having a lot of success. And then you look offensively at Kurt Warner and how prolific he was. I can still remember Torrey Holt catching that slant. Isaac Bruce making big plays. Marshall's versatility. So just a fan of the game and watching that.
Nerds. When I hear Sean McVay talk, nerds. He sounds like somebody else, a pocket protector.
He sounds like somebody else we know, though.
And he's like, when I came out from the lab and I was watching that. Why was he talking about Eddie George and Steve McNair?
He was talking about the Titans-Rams Super Bowl.
What? Why was he talking about that?
Because he coaches the Rams. I guess somebody was like,
well, they were in the Super Bowl after that. They played the Patriots after they beat the Titans.
Is that true?
So why would he be talking about that Super Bowl?
Well, it was, I guess the second Super Bowl would have been the same thing, but it was his 13th birthday. He got to go to that game for his 13th birthday.
He just sounds like a little kid.
It was in Atlanta.
I tell you about it, I had a lot of fun. I went to Atlanta. I got to see the Titans and the Rams. It was fantastic.
It was probably asked because the Rams were in the Super Bowl in Atlanta.
Oh, well done.
That's why.
Donch, well done.
Thank you.
Point, Donch.
All right, we got the question in here, but it's kind of hard to hear. But
I don't even care if that's the right answer. It makes sense to me. Yeah. I think it's the right answer. Point, Donch.
So somebody was asked about sustaining success.
What does it take to sustain the kind of success?
If I knew that, you'd be calling me Bill Belichick. Except I got a better sense of humor.
Our press conferences are better.
I don't know this one.
Our press conferences are better.
Better. All right, need it again.
Yeah, we need a repeat.
Is this football? It's not football.
If I knew that, you'd be calling me Bill Belichick. Except I got a better sense of humor.
Our press conferences are better.
Better sense of humor.
The guy who says our press conferences are better is a nobody.
Yeah.
So it's just like a staffer?
Shouldn't call him a nobody. But I wouldn't expect you to know who he was.
Well, you did. We did not.
I'm sorry about that.
I'm at a loss. Willie?
Southern guy. A Southern guy.
Is this basketball?
It's not Rick Barnes, is it?
No.
It is hoops, though.
It's hoops.
Little round ball.
All right, one more, and then we have to pull the ripcord.
Yeah. If I knew that, you'd be calling me Bill Belichick.
Roy Williams?
Yeah.
It is Roy Williams.
Okay. Coming off their big win over Pitt. Is that right? Whoever they just
beat. He's got a good Southern drawl.
Yeah. Okay. We got to take that as a point.
I'm taking credit for that.
Three times. Yeah. But yeah. All right. What else you got?
Landed one punch in the 12th round. I wonder if you really believe in your heart. You actually won the fight.
Yeah, I believe I won the fight. That's just like when you believe that you want cheese on that burger. You know what you're looking for.
What?
What? Is that real?
When you believe that you want cheese on that burger.
That's how excited he gets.
You know what you're looking for.
Wanting cheese on the burger is the same as believing that you won the fight.
I don't follow boxing close enough to know who that is.
I don't know who that is.
If it's anything other than Pacquiao or Mayweather, we're...
This person lost to Pacquiao over the weekend.
Or Caleb Plant. We now know Caleb Plant. Who is it?
It's Adrian Broner.
Yeah.
Well, not Adrian Brody, the actor.
If you want to stump us, there you go. You just found our soft spot.
That you want cheese on that burger. You know what you're looking for.
Oh, my. That's a good one.
I think I'll remember him now. All right, what else you got?
I would love to know the context of the questions, though, how we got to that.
Some after the fight, Broner was saying that he thought that he won, and he clearly did not. I watched the fight. He did not. Okay.
So he didn't think he won, but he believed he won.
Yep. And then
was
so
was
somebody,
this pay-per-view or HBO?
I don't know. I was
pay-per-view.
Pay-per-view.
Okay. You ponied up for pay-per-view?
I will not say how I watched it, but I did not pony up for anything.
Did you watch it on your computer? You tapped in somewhere. Okay.
Yeah, tapped in.
All right.
So then somebody asked him, they said, you only landed one punch in the 12th round. Do you really think you won? And he said, I think I won. Just like, you know, you think you want cheese on that burger.
Okay.
All right. We got a guy who agrees with Darren.
I think he's going to make the Lakers defense worse. He's not a catch and shoot 3-point guy. He's like among the worst in the league at it. I'm sorry. I think it's over for Carmelo.
Max Kellerman on Carmelo Anthony, which I don't know why we still talk about. Irrelevant. Completely irrelevant.
Max Kellerman gets on the who said that?
By the way, Klay Thompson, relevant.
Man, Klay Thompson.
What do you have, 44 points in about 6 minutes?
Unbelievable.
No, sir, did he play, what did he play, 20-something minutes? Like 28? 44 points, 28 minutes?
Well, he hit at least the first 10 threes that he took.
Yes,
he
that is
up?
Correct. He was 10, yeah. for 11. I think that was
he
it.
He started off 10 for 10.
10 for 10. Ridiculous. All right, what else you got?
Last one.
Max Kellerman.
What are we guessing?
Mr. Saints fan?
Those are the Saints fans.
Is that the one who smashed his TV with his fist?
No, that was in the stadium.
Did anybody see that? The guy in his bedroom just stuck his fist right through the television when the Rams won.
Oh, my.
Worst thing you ever did when your team lost.
Watching on TV?
Yeah.
Oh, good question.
Because you can get away. Yeah. You're going to do something more outlandish when you're not in a public setting. Worst thing you ever did?
I'd have to think about it. Nothing comes to mind. I never broke my TV. I might have broken a remote, maybe.
That would be, I would think, pretty common for most of our listeners, right? Somebody at some point probably broke a remote control, throwing it against the wall or down on the floor, slamming it.
Remember,
Josh,
in like 2009 when the Caps won the President's Trophy and then lost to the Canadiens in the first round when Halak just shut them down for the whole series? I broke a remote during that series.
I shattered a mug.
You shattered a mug?
I did. Long, long time ago. I shattered a mug. It went about 1,000 pieces.
You're not proud of it.
No, like I said, it was a long, long time ago. The Chiefs have fired a coordinator. Who? We'll come back. Thank you, Gary. Well done. Speaking of that show you just heard, they'll be at Corner Pub downtown tomorrow, which I hear, by the way, is really, really nice. Ooh. It's brand new. Corner Pub downtown.
I am a fan of the Corner Pub.
Tomorrow from 2 until 6 p.m., your chance to win a pair of tickets to the Yee Yeehaw Brewing Company Predators bus trip to see the Preds and the Blues in St. Louis on Saturday, February 9th. Saturday, February 9th, you must be 21 years of age to enter. So another chance to be a part of that yeehaw trip to St. Louis. Preds and Blues, February 9th on Saturday. That's coming up. Hope a lot of you get over to Corner Pub downtown. I hear it's really, really cool place. The Chiefs have told, once I let the cat out of the bag, I should have said the Chiefs have made a coaching move. Because that would have people going, whoa. Did they tell Andy to hit the bricks? No. Andy told his DC, Bob Sutton, to hit the bricks. Bob Sutton, the defensive coordinator, has been fired. I think if you watched the Chiefs' D this year, you realize that probably could happen. They weren't very good. My guess is in Nashville, you will hear the Chiefs naming a lot of defensive players in Nashville at the end of April. I would be kind of surprised if they didn't draft a lot of players on defense. Right?
Can't disagree. I think you're right. That's unfortunate. That was something that you always wondered in the back of your mind. If there's something that was going to get them beat, it was either going to be Mahomes having one bad game, which to his credit, he did not, or the defense just could not, they couldn't win a track meet.
Ian Rappaport says that this had been kind of a discussion with the players, and I guess they were a little disgruntled for the lack of adjustments. And so it was very frustrating for the players that this has been going on for a good while of their lack of adjustments. You know, in this league, I mean, it's probably what the Patriots do the best, right? Patriots are just really, really good at adjustments. And you have to make adjustments. The game plan going in isn't always the game plan by the end or halfway through. Things change. And evidently the players were not happy that their adjustments were lacking on the defensive side of the ball. So Bob Sutton has been shown the door as the defensive coordinator for the Chiefs. I don't know if a lot of people saw this yesterday, but Nashvillian Sonny Gray, who played at Smyrna High School, he was a Bulldog, won two state titles on the football side, went to Vanderbilt, was a very good pitcher for Tim Corbin and the Commodores, pitched with the A's/Yankees this past season. He is now in Cincinnati as a member of the Reds. His pitching coach, Derek Johnson.
I didn't pay that close of attention. Why did the Brewers let Derek Johnson get away?
I don't know.
He did a tremendous job with their pitching staff.
I have no
idea.
Look
at the guys they were running out there and ask yourself, you know, did you know any of those
You're
guys?
Saying it's not the who's who?
Yeah. I mean, start naming their pitchers. They were like, who? You know, they had a great bullpen, but their starting pitcher is very pedestrian. I thought they got as much out of that staff as they possibly could. So how did the Reds get him? I think that's got a chance to be a big move, and I think reuniting Derek Johnson with Sonny Gray is a great idea. And the Reds not only made the trade, but they doubled down and signed him to a contract extension. So it's not a one-year deal.
I think you had to do that, I would think, to get him in there, right?
Yeah, and they were willing to give up something more. It was a three-way trade, right? And so in doing that, the pieces were moved. They gave up a prospect, but they also got him to agree to a three-year deal? Three-year extension, maybe?
Well, they tried to trade away a fan, but he had a non-compete, so he had the no-trade clause in his contract, Ryan Porth. So he said, you're not, Reds, you're not going to trade me away. So they tried to throw in Ryan Porth into the deal, but he had a no-trade clause. So
the Reds,
he exercised it.
The Reds have made some intriguing moves. I don't know that they all of a sudden become a team that can be better than the Cubs or the Cardinals, but they're better, right? I mean, they have Sonny Gray. They got the guy, Tanner Roark. You know, their biggest weakness has been bad starting pitching, right? Now, if they just hit decent starting pitching, then they go out and get Puig. I mean, they've got some new guys coming in there. if it all comes together, it could be better.
Yeah, but I mean,
they're tired of getting their butt kicked.
I was going to say, is
their fans
what
are
is
too
better?
Good?
Not losing 100.
But that's the dilemma.
Okay, great. If that's your standard, then yes, they are getting better.
They're trying to do something for their fans, and they're doing it smartly in that a lot of these guys they got are only under contract for a year or two. So if it's not working, then they'll have some pieces they can trade off at the trade deadline. I think that's smart.
They probably should have just brought back Dusty Baker because that was the last time they were winning.
There we go. I knew you were going to go there.
What?
You like going to that
Is this
theme.
On?
Darren's greatest hits. Dusty Baker is a great manager.
No, I've always just
He always
said,
wins.
I don't know why everybody fired. Can't wait to get rid of him because all he does is go somewhere and do a whole lot of winning. By the way, how the Nationals done since they got rid of Dusty Baker? How's that worked out?
They haven't won.
They haven't won. Oh, okay. I was just curious.
Is Bryce Harper actually going to sign with somebody?
Machado and
There's
Harper,
still quite a few. Dallas Keuchel?
Yeah. Those guys going to sign?
They're still out there.
By the way, catchers and pitchers report here in a couple weeks. A
couple weeks away.
All right, that's going to do it for our show today. Good stuff. We'll be back at it tomorrow. We're excited about that. Predators in Vegas to take on the Golden Knights tomorrow night, their final game in January. We'll get you ready for that. Tim Hasselbeck, a lot on the docket. David Poyle will join us tomorrow, so a lot coming. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. See you then.